Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for a family. Life is not often easy. As Job says, it's short and full of troubles. And just when we think it's settling down, it just seems to have a way of erupting. Lord, we are grateful that in your wisdom, you not only care for us directly, you not only provide for us in Christ and have given us your word, but you have embodied that in a body of Christ where we find strength and comfort from sisters and brothers. We share our joy. We share the difficulties. And together we look to you as the only source of life and goodness and truth. I appreciate, O Lord, the deep privilege of being a part of this body. And I thank you, O Lord, for the place where you have called us this morning to hear your word. May we understand that it is not my word. May we understand that we are listening for the only Lord and Savior, our teacher, to speak. So may your Holy Spirit open our hearts, and may we hear only from you. In Christ's holy name, amen. What is the one short, three-word statement that I bet every parent, every philosopher, every judge, every policeman, every referee, every umpire, and every parent every day, what one three-word statement do you think they've all heard? I bet they've heard somebody say, it's not fair. It's not fair. We utter that complaint whenever we think that however we define justice, it's being violated. And for most of us, we define justice the way Aristotle did. Aristotle said justice is everyone getting their just due. And I heard one person say one time, said, no one gets justice. That the good people don't get what they deserve. And the bad people don't get what they deserve. No one gets what they deserve. There's no justice, there's no fairness, and it gripes us. Those times where we know we did better than our neighbor, our coworker, when we thought we were at least as holy as the one beside us, and we get less than luxurious treatment from life, our first complaint is to say, it's not fair. Well, Jesus addressed that. And in the passage that Tom read for us this morning, it's probably one of the most difficult parables that Jesus gave, because he deals with fairness. He deals with justice. He deals with our anger that it's just not right. Now, he does it in a funny way, because we're going to see Jesus loves things not being unfair. He loves things not being fair. And he tells two, if you remember what we read, he tells two bookends. In verse 30 of chapter 19, he says, but many who are first will be last and the last first. Well, that's not fair, is it? If you ran in a race and you exerted yourself and you had trained and you outran everyone else, and then they went over and gave the prize to the slacker, that one that just sort of loafed over the line, and they gave them your reward. He ends it by verse 16 of chapter 20, giving us the same salt in the wound, that the last will be first and the first last. And in both of these teachings that bookend this parable, he is saying nothing's fair. Nothing's equal. In fact, he doesn't even tell us that nothing's equal in the same way. The first time, if you look at verse 30, the first time he says, the first will be last. When he gets it to verse 16, he reverses that and says, the last will be first. So even in telling us that there's no equality, he doesn't do it in an equal way. Life is not fair. I could say, just get over it and let's go home. But Jesus gave us a parable, so I guess we're obliged to explore it. Let's look at this parable together. It's a very simple parable in one way. He said there's a master, he has a vineyard. And like happens even today, there are places where people without employment congregate. And this master goes by, and he goes early in the morning, and he picks a group of workers. He takes them home. He says, I'm going to give you a denarius, which is roughly a day's wage then, about $120. I'm going to give you $120. You come, work all day. Now let me ask you, if you've ever been chosen to be the captain at recess, and you remember when you picked teams, who are you going to pick first? You're going to pick who looks like the best, right? So when I first come and call over the workers, I'm going to pick out the ones that I think I'm going to get the best day's labor from. Well, as we read in the story, the parable, Jesus says that he underestimated how many workers he would need. So he kept going back and going back. And he even went back at 5 o'clock to hire some people that no one wanted. Do you remember in high school what it felt like when you acted in that line that they were picking people to play and you tried to act like it really didn't matter if you got picked or not, but inside you were dying? You're the last one. No one wanted you. You've been picked over and over and over again, and every time you're not even excited now. Every time you saw the supervisor's truck pull up, you thought, well, maybe this time I'll be picked. But it's been all day, and you've been idle, and no one wanted you. And now they come and say, you want to come and work at least the last hour? And you think, well, at least the whole day won't be shot. I can work an hour. And at the end of the day, the master does something that I love about Jesus. Because when we do something, if you were going to try to like grease somebody's palm or give them a little push money or do something a little unfair, wouldn't you try to be quiet about it? Hey, here's 50 bucks. I know you're going through a hard time. Don't tell your sister. Right? But Jesus doesn't have the master do that. The master could have paid the ones hired first and sent them on their way, and there wouldn't have been any point to the story, right? But what Jesus did is to make a point. He called the ones that only worked an hour in, and he paid them $120. How do you think they felt to receive a full day's wage for 1 hour's work? That's a good deal, isn't it? It's like, pick me up tomorrow at 5 o'clock. This is a great deal. Now, if you were one of the ones that had been working from 6 o'clock and you just saw that he paid the ones that worked an hour $120, what do you think you're going to get? More, right? Wrong. And you cry out, it's not fair. It's not fair. Life reflects this parable, doesn't it? You know some people that you have worked harder than, but somehow they seem to have fared better? You know some people that you know, but life somehow doesn't know, so you're fretted that theirs is a cakewalk and yours is an uphill journey? So what do we do with it? Let's see if we can pick some lessons out of this. And I'm just going to, this is real simple, nothing profound here. But I think we need to be reminded. And the first thing I think this reminds us is that the ground at the cross is level. And you've heard that before, but at the cross, it's level. We do not rank saints. We don't have good saints and poor saints, good members. I mean, it's all level. And in one big way, what he's saying to the Jews is, you may have been here from the beginning, but these new Gentiles, they're just as valuable. And that's the big picture, Jew and Gentile. But it comes down in a very particular way. Do you think Billy Graham, is going to be welcomed into heaven. I think most of us would say so. Brothers and sisters, the beauty of grace and goodness of God is that whether it's Billy Graham or me, the ground is level. You know what Billy Graham could say? That's not fair. And it's not fair. Whether it's Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or you, the ground is level. Whether you've done everything right in your life or everything poorly. Whether you're the latecomer or the first to arrive at the job, the pay is the same. The pay is the same. That's good for us, isn't it? The reason why this parable irritates us, the reason why, I'll be honest, it irritates me, is when I read this parable, I just assume I'm one of the ones that showed up and got picked at 6 o'clock in the morning. But if I assumed correctly that I'm really one of the picked over ones that didn't get selected until 5 o'clock, I'm not going to get angry at this message, am I? Not at all. See, in life, even though we try in church to play differently, at high school reunions and college reunions, we like to put our best foot forward and think differently. But the bottom line, all too often, that hauntingly true line of that old Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, it says, we never fail to fail. It was the easiest thing to do. And if we just are sometimes so disappointed, Lord, why can't I get this right? Like in Romans 7 where Paul says, those things I want to do, I don't do. And those things I swear I'll never do again, I keep doing it over and over and over. And the only thing I can win at is losing. And this parable comes and says, the ground at the cross is level. The latecomers are welcome just as much as the most diligent all-day workers. The second thing we see is serving the master is better than being idle. The one common denominator, or I guess there are two common denominators in all the workers, is they all got the same pay, but they all helped in the harvest. Every one of them was important. It's better to serve the master even for 1 hour than to be idle. We're all necessary. As Paul would say in Corinthians, there are no inferior parts of the body. There are parts of the body that are more visible. But the one who sweeps the floor is just as important as the one who's winning the souls in Africa and everyone in between. Now let's get to these are in ascending importance. The third one that we learn in verse 15 is God is in control. Look in verse 15 again. Verse 15 is the heart of this message. Am I not, and this is the master speaking, i.e. God, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? I mean, can I do it? I mean, did he have to hire anyone? No. Did he have to pay anyone? No. Who's the master? He is. And see, what we need to understand in life is God determines what's fair. No one ever said, nowhere will you ever read in this scripture, that Tom Bryant gets to determine what's fair in his life. And guess what else you won't find in scripture too as you look for my name? Your name's not in there either. We are not the ones that get to determine fairness. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We couldn't do it if we wanted to. If I define fairness, it's like anyone that plays football. A fair call is that a referee or umpire makes. A good call is what? Is it a good call objectively? No, it's going to be the one that goes in my favor. So I don't get to determine what's fair. God is in control. He's the one that determines. And we need to understand justice is not some rule. Justice is his nature. God is in control. But here's where we're going to camp for just a little bit. The fourth thing, and the most important thing, and the point of this parable, is God is unfair. God is unfair.
aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God is unfair?
How many of you want to be first to tell God, Lord, do to me the what I deserve? Only a fool who would deny the existence of God would demand that God treat him the way he deserves. I'm grateful that God is unfair. And he says at the end of verse 15, or do you begrudge my generosity? Do you begrudge my generosity? God is unfair. We don't want justice. Our salvation is not a wage that we've earned. I have a friend that's did payroll forever. And he said it was always interesting that people that struggled on the floor working with math and detailed consciousness, when they got their paycheck, they had superb math skills. They had total recall. Their detail orientation was perfect, and they could look at that pay stub and see whether or not they were cheated in any way. I don't want a paycheck from the Lord that's just. I need a paycheck from the Lord that's unfair, that's pure mercy, that's His generosity. See, we don't want justice. We want mercy. Right? If you don't want mercy, you don't know the Lord well enough. And if you want justice, your mirror needs to be cleaned off. God is unfair. Thanks be unto the Lord. See, we all will be audited one day. But our auditor is a lamb. See, when we think of an auditor, we think of someone stern and someone that's going to come in with a fine-tooth comb and they're going to find every flaw and defect in every book and ledger you've ever kept, and your backside is going to prison. That's the way we see auditors. Our only auditor is a lamb. A lamb that was slain. A lamb that now covers us all. And the whole point of this story is that God is not fair. And we will be singing His praises forever that He's not. For His generosity is not based on that which is just. His generosity is based on His desire to shower His mercy and blessings to all. Now, we don't have to buy that. We don't have to accept that. One commentator, old pastor from years ago, and I'm going to quote it directly, he said, hell is reserved only for those idiots who insist in keeping non-existent ledgers and demanding fairness. Because you may say, I don't want charity. I don't need a handout. I want exactly what's coming to me. And God, against the desire of God, for He would have all people to accept His generosity, God will say to that individual, okay, I'll give you justice if you want it. Brothers and sisters, for me, I'm going to take mercy. For me, I'm going to say, thanks be unto God, who out of His unfailing love treats us unfairly. For He loves us audaciously. Amen. One of the most unfair things is to call that which is good evil, or that which is evil good. But at the center of our faith is a Friday that in actuality was a very evil day. In actuality, it was a Friday in which the only perfect one, the only holy Lamb of God, was crucified upon a cross. In actuality, that's not a very good thing.
But in mercy, we call that day not evil Friday, but we call that day good Friday. For it's upon that day that the most unfair thing in the world happened, that the one who was absolutely holy became absolutely sinful, so that you who are absolutely sinful can receive the holiness and righteousness of God. For he knew, and he told his disciples on that night, that this is my body, which will be broken for you. After supper on the same night, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which will unfairly be shed. But in the shedding of my blood is the full remission and forgiveness of sins." As we eat and drink, we participate in the very body and blood of Christ. And in doing so, we remember him, for he remembered us. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us. We thank you that you give to us your actual word, your actual body, your actual blood. We receive these. We are not worthy of these, O Lord, but we receive them, for they are offered. The offering of these gifts unto us is based not upon what we have earned, but upon what you accomplished. So we thank you for the merits and mediation of another. We receive those in gratitude with faith that comes from you. Lord, help us, O Lord, to rejoice forevermore in the goodness of the gift that we receive today. In your holy name, amen. Mm-hmm.